A reading from the book of Genesis. Israel loved Joseph best of all his sons, for he was the child of his old age, and he had made him a long tunic. When his brothers saw that their father loved him best of all his sons, they hated him so much that they would not even greet him. One day, when his brothers had gone to pasture their father's flocks at Shechem, Israel said to Joseph, "Your brothers, you know, are tending our flocks at Shechem. Get ready, I will send you to them." So Joseph went after his brothers and caught up with them in Dothan. They noticed him from a distance, and before he came up to them, they plotted to kill him. They said to one another, "Here comes that master dreamer. Come on, let us kill him and throw him into one of the cisterns here. We could say that a wild beast devoured him. We shall then see what comes of his dreams." When Reuben heard this, he tried to save him from their hands, saying, "We must not take his life. Instead of shedding blood," he continued, "just throw him into the cistern there in the desert, but do not kill him outright." His purpose was to rescue him from their hands and return him to his father. So when Joseph came up to them, they stripped him of the long tunic he had on. Then they took him and threw him into the cistern, which was empty and dry. They then sat down to their meal. Looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead, their camels laden with gum, balm, and resin to be taken down to Egypt. Judah said to his brothers, "What is to be gained by killing our brother and concealing his blood? Rather, let us sell him to these Ishmaelites instead of doing away with him ourselves. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh." His brothers agreed. They sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. There are many lessons that we could glean from this Joseph narrative. During the season of Lent, of course, we are immediately aware of the last verse in the reading, that Joseph was sold for 20 pieces of silver, as we look toward that Paschal mystery when Jesus was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. We could also, if we were to follow the Joseph narrative further into later chapters in the book of Genesis, see the theme of divine providence and how it works itself out. Very interestingly, Reuben, one of the brothers, attempts to save him in order that he might later return him to his father, but then Judah suggests selling him, and Joseph ends up in Egypt, where he is later a great, great asset to his family. The theme of divine providence and how it works its way out among us, even amidst evil and injustice. But the most obvious thing that comes to our mind as we hear this really treacherous story is one of envy, jealousy, we might even say family and sibling rivalry. For so many of the stories in Genesis are stories of sibling rivalry. Cain and Abel, Jacob and Esau, and even the stories connected with Sarah and Hagar, the wives of Abraham, and the jealousy that exists in all of those relationships. And so I would just like us to ponder the power that that force, that envy, can have in our lives, knowing deep inside that God can, of course, use these things and work it unto good. But just on the surface, the brute reality of this power of envy, the brothers could not even greet Joseph. They wanted to kill him. To a great degree, it was his dreaming that bothered them. But most of all, they were simply aware that their dad loved him the most. He was dad's favorite. So the reading evokes within us awareness of our own family situations, other kinds of relationships in life where jealousies and envy enter in. And I would just like to suggest that we stop and ask ourselves the question, what is one of the root sources of envy or jealousy? It comes out of our almost human pattern for comparative thinking, for making comparisons, for comparing ourselves to others. The brothers of Joseph looked at Joseph and saw that their dad liked him more. It's this use of a comparative, our tendency to use it so frequently, that gets in our way. If we could uproot and eradicate that tendency to make comparisons from our mental structures, how much more liberated, free we would be. Perhaps during the season of Lent, we could stop at times and just take a look at how often in the course of a day might I be making comparisons, and what kind of injustice is there within that? When making comparisons, it means we often tend to look at something in terms of what is not. I compare myself to someone and ask, is that person a better teacher? Is that someone more liked? Does she like him more than me? We see what is not. I'm not as well liked. I'm not as good. Something of this sort. Or even in our judging others, our dislike for someone, they are not what I expect them to be or want them to be. They don't like me as much as. Whereas from God's point of view, or even in nature itself, it's only our human tendency to do that. If I look at a rose, I don't look at it and say it's beautiful, but it's not a tulip, or it's not a zebra, or I don't look at a tomato and say, wonderful, tasty even, but it's not a cucumber, it's not a watermelon, it's not a kangaroo, it's not. We don't appreciate things by looking at them in terms of what they're not, but rather we are called to see them for what they are, each with its own distinct and singular beauty and purpose. So likewise, within the human family, this tendency to look at others in terms of what they're not. And when we compare, this is what we are doing. We are seeing what something lacks in comparison to something else. Whether we compare the religions of the world, whether we compare people in our community, whether we compare particular books or classes or professors, we are failing to appreciate what they are and are building something up on the basis of what is not rather than what is. And so the brothers of Joseph were not able to look at Joseph because of their jealousy and see him for who he was, who he is. And they were not able to look at themselves and see who they were and see the beauty and dignity in themselves, and that there was no basis for need to be envious. They were finding themselves insufficient, looking at themselves in terms of what was not, they were not as well loved as Joseph was by their dad. So, although many themes emerge from these Genesis stories, let us during this Lenten time take a look at not just the way envy or jealousy might manifest itself in my life, but at that deep tendency to think comparatively and to look at others in that comparative mode, rather than to simply look at people for who they are, to appreciate what is, and not be focused on what someone might not be, might not be living up to some expectation. If we can eradicate the tendency to be comparative, much of the jealousy and envy will simply go by the wayside.